The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman. And as always, I'm joined by Gray Oldenburg and Nathan Glidewell. Now let's dive straight into AAA. Our first story today is that after the first practice of the season last Tuesday, Phoenix Suns starting center DeAndre Ayton told reporters that he hasn't spoken to head coach Monty Williams since he was benched in the Game 7 loss last season. And also, Jay Crowder remains away from the team as he seeks a trade. So I'm asking you guys, are the Suns in trouble?
Yes, I think the Suns are in big trouble. This whole thing with the DeAndre Ayton and then Jay Crowder requesting a trade and, you know, Monty Williams not talking to Ayton ever since the end of the year, that's a problem. And then you see last night they go and lose their first preseason game to an Australian league team who's not even that good by 10 points in Phoenix. And it's not like the only guys that weren't playing, I mean, Dario Saric didn't play, and obviously Jay Crowder didn't play, but everybody else did. And you're wondering what is going on in Phoenix. What do they need to do to fix whatever problems that they have?
Yeah, I mean, definitely it looks like a team chemistry issue to me. And, you know, Monty Williams not really being involved in, like, player development. And obviously DeAndre Ayton's unhappy. I know he was just re-signed and everything. And then Jay Crowder, you know, not being with the team and, you know, he wants to be traded. It's kind of falling apart as a team. And we definitely saw that with their recent loss to the Adeline 36ers. So I don't know what we can expect going forward, but what are your thoughts on this, Alex?
I think Monty Williams needs to have a sit down face to face with DeAndre Ayton. They need to talk it out man to man, because this all chit chatting on the media is just not what needs to be happening. Not what, how to build a better team right there. And for Jay Crowder, I don't know what he's expecting. How old is he, like 35, something like that?
He's pretty old now.
He's not worth the trade value that he wants to be worth.
Yeah, I mean, Cam Johnson sitting there, Monty Williams confirmed he was going to be the starter this season. So I just think Jay Crowder, I think he'd be a perfect sixth man. And, you know, he could be thrust in that starting role if there's an injury to somebody like Mikal Bridges or Cam Johnson. So I don't know. They just need to get that fixed real quick.
Figure it out, yeah.
All right, the second story for today. NBA players LeBron James, Kevin Love, and Draymond Green agree to buy an expansion franchise in Major League Pickleball. What are y'all's thoughts?
The pickleball has grown so much. Like, I have friends and distant family that own a big piece of land out in North Georgia, and they have dedicated part of their land to build a bunch of pickleball courts and have these bleachers set up for it, so they can host these big tournaments for pickleball. And it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger ever since the pandemic, you know, kind of got into full swing. And you're seeing this with these NBA players and celebrities and other owners start to, you know, creep into this, and because they see stock rising in it too. What about you, Nathan?
I mean, yeah, you definitely see the player rate rising. I mean, everyone's playing it from young to old. And, you know, with these NBA players and, you know, even people like Drew Brees getting involved and trying to own their own franchise with pickleball, I think it's a really good idea. Personally, I've never played pickleball, but I know a lot of people enjoy it. And I think this is huge for, you know, people who want to play professionally one day, maybe. So
my only drawback to this is I'm expanding so quickly from 12 to 16 teams. We've seen expansion be really harmful to these smaller tier. I don't want to say it's like it's a smaller tier professional sports league, but it can be really harmful. So they need to be wary of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. The third and final story for AAA today is the Wisconsin Badgers have fired head football coach Paul Chryst after a 2-3 start to the season. Defensive coordinator Jim Leonard has been named interim head coach. What do y'all think about the firing him this quickly?
Paul Chryst, he wasn't an unsuccessful coach. He went 67-26 in his 7+ seasons at Wisconsin, won 10 or more games in 4 of his first 5 seasons. So he showed that early success, but 5-10 ever since the COVID-19 pandemic. and the shortened 2020 weird season that we had that year. But you saw Wisconsin, they wanted to make a change. Obviously, their 2-3 start is not living up to that Wisconsin threshold, you'd say. And there are some good coaches on the board, some former Wisconsin coaches that have ties to the Badgers. And you might see them, you know, try and make an upgrade there. Nathan, who do you think could be that next guy?
You know, everyone there, I think Sean Lewis is a great hire at Kent State. He's, you know, a Wisconsin alum. And, you know, with Paul Chris, he did not do a terrible job as a head coach. He was definitely above average. He averaged like a 9-win season every year. And just recency has not been the best thing, as you know, as you said, they've gone like 5-10 since the pandemic. And on Wisconsin, you know, being an upper tier university, that is unacceptable for them. So you want to see them hire someone who can bring in some energy and maybe turn the season around, you know, since they are only 2-3 and there's still a few games left to play.
Yeah, I think looking at that whole list that I'm looking at right now, I think the Kansas head coach, Lance Leipold, is a pretty big get. They could be able to get him with him being a Wisconsin native and coaching at Wisconsin Whitewater. But I also think Jim Leonard, their current defensive coordinator and interim head coach, for years he's been like the coach in waiting, I've heard. So I think if he's able to have a successful year, I think he'll be named the full-time head coach. All right, moving into the recapping football from the weekend. Number 20 Alabama beat number 20 Arkansas 49-26. Nathan, I know you're the resident Alabama guy here. So what do you think about this game?
Well, you know, it's almost like three different games are played. You know, you had Alabama jumping to a 28-0 start, then Arkansas scored right before half. And then you come right out of halftime and Alabama doesn't have any momentum. And Arkansas, you know, brings it within a 5-1 game. And then suddenly Jalen Milroe runs for 77 yards, and it's just a totally different game. And Alabama goes back up by 49-26, and that's the final. And it's just crazy to see how Alabama competed without Bryce Young after, you know, he did have his AC joint in the shoulder sprained. And, you know, it's definitely something to look forward to going forward. I mean, if Bryce Young is going to be healthier or not. But Jalen Milroe definitely showed where he can be successful. I know his stats aren't really flashy. And then someone else who really stepped up was Jahmyr Gibbs. 18 carries, 206 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And he had 2 super long runs of 72 and 76 yards. And he's really stepped up as the RB1 this week. So, and then you had people like Kobe Prentice and Isaiah Bond and JoJo Earl, you know, really stepping up young receivers that we wanted to see. And, you know, that definitely happened for Alabama.
Yeah, you saw, and Nathan and I both went to the Arkansas-Alabama game last year, and you saw the difference in KJ Jefferson in both of those two games from last year to this year. It was completely different. He looked so poised and control of last year's game. He also had guys like Treylon Burks for those wide receivers last year in Tuscaloosa. But this year, it just looked like he was looking at the defensive line. He didn't look comfortable, never got in a rhythm at all. Even when Arkansas was making that run, it just looked like a completely different guy and a different team that Arkansas showed on Saturday compared to what we've seen earlier in this year, what we expected in the preseason, even last year.
Yeah, KJ definitely struggled in this game. Sorry to cut you off there, Alex. But, you know, one thing that I definitely paid attention to was the amount of influence Will Anderson had. Of course, he had sacks overall, but it's the little things that don't show up on the stat line, like pressures and, you know, making stunts that put other people and teammates in positions to get sacks or, you know, to deflect passes or these big things that you want to see from the defense.
Yeah, and like you alluded to, Gray, he really didn't have that receiver he could just throw a ball up to and pray he would catch it like he did last year with Burks. So I think that really kind of he didn't really want to test those Alabama DBs like he did last year. So this is the segment I think Gray dreads every week.
Yeah.
Recapping the Auburn game. Auburn lost to LSU 17-21. Gray, what are your thoughts?
We're going to start calling this the Gray has a mental breakdown segment because this is going to be painful. Look, Auburn came out and was absolutely on fire, scored their first three drives. Scored their first two drives, touchdowns on both drives. Robbie Ashford started quarterback as TJ Finley continues to be out. Was fantastic in this game. Threw for 337 yards. You know, it made good decisions. Threw for two touchdowns on those first two drives. We had our first wide receiver touchdown in of the year with Javarius Johnson on the long pass from Ashford on the first drive. And you just saw, like, after the first two drives, I was like, okay, where has that offense been? The offensive line looked good. We were pass blocking. There were some holes for running backs, not just handing them the ball, but we were also getting them the ball in space, you know, throwing them out of the backfield. Jarquez Hunter had a long catch. He had two receptions for 70 yards. When you have a game like this against LSU and Robbie Ashford throws for 337 yards, your backup quarterback, Tank plays great as well. Jarquez plays great. You're involving guys like Javarius Johnson and John Samuel Shanker, and your defense is playing great. You've got three sacks, hit eight tackles for loss, and two quarterback hurries. You're really getting to Jaden Daniels, the LSU quarterback. They throw for 5 yards in the second half, and you lose at home. I think, you know, and I'm not speaking this into existence, but I think in very soon podcasts in this, or very soon shows, we will be talking about future Auburn head coach candidates, because that cannot happen. The fumble, the scoop and score that LSU had when Auburn was up 14-0 completely changed the entire game. Once you saw that, the momentum completely flipped towards LSU. The crowd started to get out of the game. Obviously, I was there. I like that. It was frustrating. It was a complete heart punch. That scoop and score changed the entire momentum. But LSU did not win this game. Auburn lost it.
Yeah, with the ball on the ground six times, you're asking for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I work on the Rick Bubba show, and Rick was talking about his son went to the game, and he said his son told him he left at halftime because he wanted to leave in a good mood, and Auburn's on a second half team. So,
and you've seen such horrible momentum in the second half, such horrible adjustments in the second half ever since Brian Harsin took over as head coach last year. You've seen all kinds of blown leads. You're talking about the Mississippi State game from last year. You're talking about the Alabama game from last year, the South Carolina game from last year, and even the Missouri game from last week. You blew a 14-point lead even though you won. This one you lose to LSU at home in that type of atmosphere when they threw for 5 yards the second half. Jaden Daniels played absolutely horrific. He's not an SEC quarterback. He was looking at Derek Hall and Ekwu Liotta coming at him the whole game, and he was missing
80 yards passing.
He's not good. But you lose this game. You look at the stat sheet. There's no reason you should lose this game outside of the four turnovers compared to the one for LSU.
Yeah, Nathan, you got any thoughts on this with Alabama on the horizon for LSU?
I mean, Gray summed it up perfectly. Auburn just falling apart like we've seen week in, week out. But for LSU, obviously they didn't get together an offense. They basically had their miracle answered and, you know, somehow were able to beat Auburn, even though they had no offensive production whatsoever. And honestly, this is just a huge question mark for this LSU identity. Can they figure it out before they play Alabama? I mean, they definitely have a big test in Tennessee this week, which, ooh, yeah, you know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's going to be our game of the week.
Yeah.
Even though it is at 11 a.m., it's, you know, at LSU.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
by
that's,
the way.
That's something right there.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see how they'll perform at home this weekend.
All right. Our last game is our game of the week from this past weekend. Number 7 in Kentucky. Lost number 14, Ole Miss, 22-19. What are y'all thoughts on this?
This was one of the only games I got to watch due to being at the Auburn LSU game. But I really enjoyed watching this game. I don't think Ole Miss is as good as they look in this game, because I don't think Kentucky is as good as they look, as they were looking in the previous, you know, four games this year. But the game-winning touchdown obviously wiped away because, you know, Kentucky wasn't set before the play, and then Will Levis fumbled on the very next play. I don't think, you know, and Nathan, you can kind of argue this if you want. I don't think either of these teams are game of the week worthy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the rankings, and, you know, obviously number 7 Kentucky at, you know, number 14 Ole Miss. It, like, the rankings set up to be a game of the week, but in reality, they probably shouldn't have been ranked that high. I mean, these are two teams that have a lot of question marks. I mean, Ole Miss defense is, you know, struggling, and then, you know, Kentucky, same thing, and it's just a lot of mental errors from both teams, and, you know, Jadson Dart is nothing crazy. It's really surprising how Kentucky lost this game. They had so many chances to pull out the win, and they just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, a missed field goal and two failed conversions on an extra point. Can't win a game with that. Recapping some other games from the weekend, you had number 1 Georgia beating Missouri 22-26. Number 5 Clemson beat number 10 NC State 30-20. UCLA upset number 15 Washington 40-32. TCU upset number 18 Oklahoma 55-24. Purdue upset number 21 Minnesota 20-10. Number 9 Oklahoma State beat number 16 Baylor 36-25. Number 22 Wake Forest beat number 23 Florida State 31-21. And Mississippi State beat Texas A&M 42-24. Any of those games stick out to y'all?
Obviously, the Georgia-Missouri game was – I did not think that game would stick out to me when I saw it on the schedule. But, wow, Missouri was in control the entire game until the very end. And Georgia luckily gets – you know, scores two touchdowns in the fourth quarter after not scoring at all, after not getting in the end zone at all, at least. Missouri was in control of this game the entire time, led 19-12 heading into the fourth quarter. I was praying for this to happen. As an Auburn fan, anytime Alabama or Georgia loses, it's legendary, no matter who they lose to. But if Georgia would have lost to Missouri, whoo, goodness.
How about Mississippi State? I mean, they beat number 17 Texas A&M 42-24. I don't think Mississippi State's been talked about enough. They've got some pretty decent wins now with Memphis and Arizona, and now Texas A&M, and, you know, they're sitting at 4-1, which, you know, their only loss was to LSU. I know that doesn't look great, but, you know, Mississippi State, they get Arkansas coming this weekend, so it's really I think that's going to be a really good game to test Mississippi State and see how their offense can perform against that.
All right, with us being about a third of the way through the season, I thought we'd talk about our midseason college football playoff predictions. Mine right now would probably have to be Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and I don't want to say it, but it's got to be USC. Ooh. Gray, what about you?
I'm gonna go with the same top three. But instead of USC, I'm going to go Clemson, and I hate to do that because I don't think Clemson is a top four team, but I don't see how they lose the rest of the way. And, I mean, one of Ohio State and Michigan will have to lose, and then one of Alabama and Georgia will have to lose in the SEC championship as well. So I think they get in somehow. What about you, Nathan?
I think I would have Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and USC.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, a little bit different. I definitely didn't like what I saw from Georgia this weekend, so that moved them out for me. And then, you know, Clemson had a big game versus NC State. So, and I'm starting to get convinced that they're a lot better than we thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some two big wins these past weekends. So
that's right.
And so recently, I think it was a couple of weeks ago or maybe months, the College Football Playoff Committee announced they're going to be expanding it to a 12-team playoff format. What are y'all's thoughts on them expanding it instead of keeping it at 4?
I think it's good. I think they should have gone to 8 instead of massively go to 12, because I think the 12 will have to, like, take away a regular season game just to keep the length of the season in the right track, and be able to keep the length of the offseason the right track. But it's all about how they set it up and how they go about, you know, do you do the conference champions? What do you do with the, group of five teams? What do you do with the other bids that you have? Do you go play games in the higher seed stadium? How do you set it up? That's the whole thing for me. What about you, Nathan?
I mean, if you looked at it like currently right now, you'd have someone like Oregon and Utah getting into the playoff. And obviously they got beat out by Georgia and Florida. And it's just, you have room for these teams who aren't really competing as well as, you know, some of these upper tier teams. And, you know, obviously they won't get home field advantage or anything like that, but they get a shot, they get redemption to, you know, go to the playoff and get to the national championship, even though that is a stretch for them. But it's, you know, I agree with you. 12 teams is definitely not the number. I think 8 would have been fine.
Yeah, I think at 12, I don't think losses are going to be that big of a deal. I think you could get in teams with maybe 3 losses. If we're somewhere like Alabama, Georgia, SEC team, really. So I don't think losses are going to matter as much. And teams like Alabama, you're going to get into the playoff every year. And you might see a 12 seed Alabama somehow win the national championship, just the way Nick Saban coaches. So I think I agree with you all. I think 8 teams would have been the perfect number for that. All right, recapping the NFL from the past weekend. The Dolphins lost to the Bengals 27-15. Really don't want to talk about the whole game as itself. Want to mention something scary that really happened to Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. He was taken off the field on a stretcher after suffering a scary looking injury, which had his arms locked up and his fingers all twisted up. He ended up being discharged from the hospital that same night and was given permission to fly home with the team. I know it's been last week we talked about how poorly handled that injury was at the Bills. So what do y'all think about it now after what happened on last Thursday?
Yes, and I know that this has already happened, but whoever was in charge of clearing Tua this past or to play on Thursday after getting injured on Sunday, like especially because of the short week that the Dolphins had, should have been fired, and they were. The doctor who was in charge of clearing him was fired. I think it was handled very, very poorly on the Dolphins side and on the medical side of it. I think the Dolphins and Tua are very lucky that he is okay, that he was, just like you said, Alex, he was discharged from the hospital, you know, that night and got the go to go fly home with the team and be with his guys. But it, very, very scary injury, especially considering what happened to him last Sunday. What do you think, Nathan?
Well, I mean, we definitely talked about this last week. We did not expect him to play on Thursday after what happened last Sunday. And for him to go into that game, and he was much more of a risk to have, you know, severe brain damage when getting hit. And, of course, that happened. He got sent to the hospital. And it's just extreme medical malpractice by that doctor who allowed them to go back into the game against, you know, Buffalo last Sunday. And it's just very, very surprising to me how, you know, the Dolphins let them get away with this. Yeah. And, you know, now, of course, the NFL is looking into this, and there needs to be some type of punishment because this cannot happen.
Yeah, the NFL and NFL Players Association have already agreed to parameters of an updated concussion protocol that will rule out players who exhibit gross motor instability, and they're in final discussions about the final language and unintended consequences of the new protocol. But if it's approved, the changes could take effect in week 5. And then our game of the week this week was the Chiefs-Buccaneers. Chiefs ended up winning 41-31. What are y'all's thoughts on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs beating Tom Brady?
Fantastic. Patrick Mahomes continues to show us he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, no matter who his wide receivers are. Obviously, Tyreek Hill going to the Miami Dolphins this offseason. It doesn't look like he's lost a step at all, and that Chiefs offense doesn't look like they've lost a step. The Tampa Bay defense has been giving teams massive trouble the first 3 weeks of the year, but now they come out and they have a home Sunday night football game against the Chiefs, and the Chiefs put 41 points on them. That Chiefs offense is not going to stop as long as Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback.
Yeah, going into this weekend, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of noise with Hurricane Ian and the game perhaps being moved to a neutral site field, but ultimately it ended up being played in Tampa. And I really thought that the Tampa crowd was going to be louder and more into the game. But Patrick Mahomes just came out, and he looked like he was playing Madden. It was almost video game-esque. He just was all over the place. He had one pass he just threw up, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire caught it in the end zone for a touchdown. And then Travis Kelce, of course, had a huge game. It's just insane to see what Patrick Mahomes did to the Tampa Bay defense with them being so solid over the past few years. Of course, Tom Brady didn't, you know, have a crappy game either. He went 39-52, 385 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, you know, he competed, but ultimately Kansas City just had more firepower.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the Buccaneers rushing, they had 6 carries for 3 yards, and they had 2 fumbles as well. I mean, you got to help Tom Brady out. The man's 45 years old. Leonard Fournette's got to do something to help this man out. Previewing college football for the upcoming weekend, we have number 1 Alabama versus Texas A&M, number 2 Georgia versus Auburn, number 3 Ohio State versus Michigan, number 6 USC versus Washington State, number 11 Utah versus number 18 UCLA, number 14 NC State versus Florida State, number 17 TCU versus number 19 Kansas, number 23 Mississippi State versus Arkansas, Texas versus Oklahoma, and our game of the week, number 8 Tennessee versus number 25 LSU. What games stick out to y'all, other than the game of the week, of course?
Yeah, obviously the game of the week is the number one game, I think. But how about TCU and Kansas both getting ranked this week? TCU, the absolutely dominating performance against Oklahoma. And then Kansas 5-0, finally ranked. You know, we talked last week, they better be ranked. Yes,
finally.
Number 19. That's a great football game. I'm excited to watch that game this week.
For sure.
Of course. Game day being there as well. I mean, yes. It's going to be hype.
Nathan, what about you? What sticks out to you?
You know, out of all of these games, I'm really looking at NC State versus Florida State. Florida State, of course, you know, coming off the loss to Wake Forest, but, you know, it's almost like a wounded animal situation. You either fight back or you die. And I think Florida State is going to prove something, and they're going to fight back. And I think that they can beat NC State this coming weekend.
Now, looking at the new AP poll that came out, what do y'all think about Georgia falling to number 2 and Alabama jumping them for number 1?
As they should. I mean, the struggles that Georgia had against Missouri, and it was already kind of close anyway, the race for number 1. And you know, Georgia actually still has more first-place votes in the AP poll, but Alabama has more points, and then that's how the system works. And I think Alabama is the better football team right now. So I think they should be number 1.
I was kind of surprised that Georgia didn't fall to 3. I think Ohio State's been playing some really good football, but I think also they need to go and have a test. And maybe we'll see that versus Michigan State this weekend. I know they haven't played well, but they'll definitely have some games to keep an eye on coming up.
Yeah, how about James Madison getting 39 votes to get ranked? Isn't this their first year
in the FBS?
That's pretty good. All right, moving on to previewing NFL for this upcoming weekend. Thursday Night Football is Colts versus Broncos. That's on Prime Video, if anybody's wondering, with Kirk Herbstreit. And isn't it Al Michaels, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
49ers versus Panthers. Eagles versus Cardinals, which is our game of the week for the NFL this week. Giants versus Packers, Steelers versus Bills, Chargers versus Browns, Bears versus Vikings, Lions versus Patriots, Seahawks versus Saints, Dolphins versus Jets, Falcons versus Buccaneers, Titans versus Commanders, Texans versus Jaguars, Cowboys versus Rams, Bengals versus Ravens, and the Monday Night Football game is Raiders versus Chiefs. Any games stick out to y'all?
I like the Bengals versus Ravens game. I think the Bengals are finally starting to get a little momentum after that slow start. Obviously, the win over Miami this week. I think, you know, you see them continue to have success. Obviously, T. Higgins back was huge for them this past weekend. Then now they go to Baltimore, who had a 20-point lead against the Buffalo Bills this past week and blew it at home. Can they respond against the as tough Bengals team at home on Sunday Night Football? What about you, Nathan?
You know, one story that's been really surprising to me is Cooper Rush and the Cowboys. Of course, Cooper Rush is, you know, undefeated as a starter right now. And the question is, will Dak be back for this game versus the Rams or not? And I think at this point in time, I would like Cooper Rush to start that game. And I really like how the Cowboys have been competing. And, of course, you know, they're coming off the win this weekend against the Commanders. So I want to see them have more success. But I understand if that they decided to put Dak back in. I don't know how the offense would perform overall, though.
Yeah, I think it was announced that Dak's on track to play this weekend. But if they start him, he doesn't play good, and they lose, you're going to hear a lot of Cowboys fans saying, why is Cooper Rush not in? Yeah. What are we doing? I don't think Dak should rush back anyways. I don't know why he's rushing back to get in. They've won these games with Cooper Rush at quarterback. Not really a rush there. The game I'm looking at this week is Steelers versus Bills. It's going to be interesting to see who Mike Tomlin decides to start, Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. I don't think either of them are great quarterbacks, but I think if they get Kenny Pickett ready as that QB1, he might surprise some people. But that showing on Sunday from Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky was horrid.
Yeah, that was bad. Very bad.
Yeah, anytime you lose to the Jets, it's unacceptable. So
when you have the quarterback catch a touchdown, that's pretty bad. All right, that's all the time we have for this week. I appreciate everybody for listening, and that was Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.